Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Want to take this opportunity to welcome each and everyone to this meeting place. We trust that you're keeping well, and we're going to turn even to the Lord in prayer, seeking His face, and let us bow in prayer, even seeking His face, bowing both our heads, our hearts before the Lord. Eternal Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity to even seek Thy face, for the access, the acceptance, the enjoyment of even entering into Thy holy courts by that blood-sprinkled way. And we thank Thee for the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. And Father, we pray that thou wilt even subdue the very atmosphere in the blood of Christ, and that thou wilt bless even this broadcast. We pray especially for the preaching of thy word. We pray for the Reverend McMillan as he would come and has the solemn duty of opening thy divine truth. And we pray that you will fill him full of the Holy Ghost and with power. And Lord, we thank thee for that way into the holiest of holies made nigh by the blood of Christ. And we pray that you'll bless even the scripture reading, the hymns as they even go out, and that many would even come from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. O Lord, we pray that you will do thy work, and knowing that you have a people out of every nation, kindred and tongue, a remnant left. And therefore we lift up prayer for the remnant that is left, that thou wilt save those for whom thy blood was shed, and bring them into thy banqueting house. O Father, we thank thee that we love thee, and we only love thee because thou did first love us. We would not have chosen thee had thou not first sought us out. And Father, we ask of thee, and that you will accept of our thanks, and that you will bless even the preaching of thy word this time. We ask all these things in our Saviour's all-prevailing name, for it's in Christ's holy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. We're turning in the Holy Scriptures to God's infallible word, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the Apostles, Acts chapter 16, and reading and commencing our reading at verse 25. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. And we'll end the reading there at verse 34. And knowing the Lord will bless even this, the public reading of his word, for his own name's sake. We're going to sing, "Sinner, How Thy Heart Is Troubled."
Oh, It's good to be with you for the program today. We want to thank the Reverend Larmour both for leading the service and also for reading the scriptures to us. We're going to direct your attention for a few minutes to verses 30 and 31 of Acts chapter 16. Let me just read those verses to you again. "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." I'd like you to think at the outset of the question, is your soul saved? And that is the theme of the message for the broadcast today. I'm not asking you, are you baptized or are you catechized? Those things have their place in the work of God. We're asking you today, are you saved? Have you had the experience of God's salvation? The reality, men and women, is there's nothing more important. And I want to stress that to you. The most important thing in life is to know beyond doubt that it's well with your soul, that you're ready for death, and that you're ready for eternity. Let me make it clear that the word saved, it's a good biblical word, it's a good gospel term. It's used over 50 times in the New Testament scriptures alone. So here's a word, here's an experience that's at the very heart of the message of the Bible, and it's at the very heart of the message of the gospel. And the fact is, if God speaks so clearly, if God speaks so repeatedly on this matter, then we need to listen very, very carefully. We need to pay attention to what the Lord has to say about it. In the scripture reading, we heard the story of the Philippian jailer, recorded there in Acts chapter 16. It is the story of the conversion of the jailer. It's the story of how this man got saved. He was converted in the middle of the night under the prison ministry of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And what we're going to do is to take a closer look at this story. And as we do that, we want to stress to you the importance of being saved. Because that is the clear message of the passage, and it's especially the clear message of these two verses of Scripture. And as we consider the details of the story, the details of the jailer's conversion, we want to ask you, and we'd like you to ask yourself the question, are you saved? It's always good to hear and to read of others being saved. We rejoice in that news. But we want to ask today, are you saved? Can you say that beyond all doubt? Let me emphasize, first of all, the meaning of being saved. If you look at verse 31, the words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Can I emphasize to you that the word saved means to be rescued or to be delivered? If you think of a person drowning in the sea, they're in danger, they need to be saved, they need to be rescued. And the same is true of the sinner. The sinner also needs to be rescued, but from a far greater danger. You might ask, what do I need to be saved? What do I need to be rescued from? Well, for one thing, you need to be saved from the power of sin. The sinner, in their natural condition, their unconverted condition, is a slave to sin. The Bible makes that clear. The Savior, his words recorded in John's Gospel, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So here's your condition if you're still unsaved. You're a slave. You're a slave to sin. But when a person gets saved, then they are delivered from sin's power in their life. Paul, writing in the book of Romans, said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Jesus Christ breaks the power of sin in your life. He will deliver you. He will set you free from sin's bondage. But there's something else, something more. Being saved also means being saved from the penalty of sin. Remember that Paul taught in the book of Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's the penalty for sin. It's death. Not just physical death, in other words, the death of the body, but also eternal death, which means your soul will be lost forever. We must warn you today that those who die unsaved, they will spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. Think of John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Can I ask you, do you see your condition? Do you see your danger today? If you're out of Christ, then you're perishing. You're in danger. And you're in danger of perishing forever. But the good news of the gospel is this. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to go to hell. Because when a person gets saved, when they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, then they're rescued. They're delivered from going to a lost eternity. They're delivered from perishing eternally. They're delivered from the wrath to come. They're delivered from the penalty for sin. So in the light of these great gospel truths, we want to ask you today, are you saved? Ponder that question carefully. Have you been delivered from sin's power in your life? Have you been delivered from a lost eternity? Maybe there's other members of your family that are saved. But let me ask you, what of you? Think as well of the must of being saved. The jailer asked in verse 30, what must I do to be saved? Or literally, what is necessary for me to do to be saved? This man knew that he needed to be saved. And he knew it was something that was absolutely necessary. There was no doubt in his mind that day that being saved was vital. And we want to impress that truth upon all who are without Christ. The reality that you need to be saved. And there is nothing that you need more than God's salvation. Think of Peter preaching in Jerusalem when he said, we must be saved. So the message is clear, men and women. This is something that's a must. It's an imperative. If you ever hope to be in heaven, then it's absolutely necessary for you to be saved. This is something that you cannot do without. But you will ask, why is it necessary to be saved? Well, the answer is because you're a sinner. There's a lot of talk in society today about equality. Well, here, men and women, is the ultimate equality. Here's the great equalizer. The fact is that we are all sinners. Paul said again in the book of Romans, there is no difference, for all have sinned. You may be a decent citizen, you may be a moral person, you may be a churchgoer, and all of those things are good. But the fact is, you're still a sinner. And you need to recognize that. You need to accept that fact or accept that truth. Because it's because of your sin that you cannot enter heaven as you are. Remember what the book of the Revelation says? There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. No sin, no sinner will ever enter heaven. So it's because of your sin that you're in danger of hell. It's because of your sin that you're perishing. It's because of your sin, men and women, that you need to be saved by the grace of God. It's your sin that's taking you down the broad road to a lost eternity. So let me urge you, men and women, don't be careless with your soul. We want to encourage you today to realize how vital this matter is, that unless you are saved, you will never be in heaven. The must of being saved. Think in the third place of the method of being saved. Paul said to the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All that is required for you to be saved is belief or faith in Jesus Christ. Money, works, religion, none of those things are required, because none of those things can save your soul. All that is required is faith alone in Jesus Christ. Not a mere intellectual believing of the facts of who Christ was and what he did. No, to believe means much more than that. It means to put your trust completely in Jesus Christ. So if you want to be saved today, then you need to put your trust in him. Not in yourself, not in your own efforts, not in the minister, not in the religious leader, not in the rituals and ceremonies of your religion. You must trust completely and only in Jesus Christ and in his sacrifice, his once for all sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary. Think of the words of the hymn that we sang earlier. Only trust him. Only trust him. And that's what we want to urge you today to do. There is an acrostic for faith that explains very clearly what it means to trust Christ. Forsaking all, I trust him. And men and women, that's what you need to do. You need to forsake everything and trust in nothing else and in no one else other than Jesus Christ. I wonder, is there one listening to the program and you're asking today that same question? What must I do to be saved? Well, the answer is still the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Put your trust in the finished work of the Son of God and you'll be saved for all eternity. The final thing I want to emphasize to you is the mistake about being saved. If you look at verse 33, it says, and he took him the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. The Philippian jailer got saved immediately. He got saved without delay. The passage says that he did it straightway, the same hour of the night. So here's a man that got converted immediately. When is the time for you to be saved? Well, the answer, men and women, is now. Because the reality is that now is the only time that you're sure of. Many people say that there's plenty of time to think of that. There's plenty of time to be saved in the future. There's no hurry. Let me warn you, that's a fatal mistake. It's a fatal mistake that especially young people make. They think that they've many years still ahead of them. The reality, men and women, is you do not have plenty of time. You think of the warnings that God gives to us in his word. Think of the book of Proverbs. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The solemn reality is you do not know what tomorrow will bring. You do not know if you will live to see tomorrow. You dare not put off getting saved even until tomorrow, because tomorrow for you could be eternity. Tomorrow you could be in eternity. In the book of Genesis, there's another warning. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You see, even if you do live to see tomorrow, there's no guarantee that the door of salvation will still be open to you. There's no guarantee that the Spirit of God will still be speaking to you. The Spirit may be speaking to you today. What a mercy that is. But remember, this could be the last day. God can and God does withdraw his Spirit. And if that happens in your life, then we have to warn you that you could never be saved, regardless of how long you may live after that. Let me say to you, men and women, it's the devil who says to you to wait, to put it off, who says that there's plenty of time. How do I know that? Well, because God in his word says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Notice the emphasis, the repetition of the word now to drive it home to our hearts. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The word of God says today, if you will, hear his voice and harden not your heart. So let me stress, the right time, the best time, the only time, yes, God's time for you to be saved is now. Don't wait another moment, because that's a mistake that could damn your soul. Just in closing, let me ask you again, is your soul saved? Is it well today with your soul? If you have to answer, no, I'm not saved, I'm still unsaved, then listen carefully to the word of God. Listen carefully to the words of our text. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May the Lord speak through his word to the saving of your soul. Let's just close together in prayer. We thank you, Father, for the power of your word, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you for the power of gospel, of the gospel message. The gospel's the power of God unto salvation. We pray, Father, that you'll display your power today. We ask you to use your word. We thank you for the greatness of thy salvation. And our earnest prayer is as your word has gone forth, that you'll speak through it to the saving of the lost. We want to pray, Father, there'll be those that will come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Hear these our cries. We ask your blessing upon all that has taken place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.